This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
No one would talk to me except to yell dyke.
I couldn't even tell my parents why I had bruises.
My brother tried to kill himself.
With all the It Gets Better videos that have been made,
we wanted to speak out about the forgotten victims.
People who hate gays.
Are you f***ing homophobes?
It doesn't get better.
Girl, it does not get better.
It doesn't get better.
For example,
gay marriage.
Half of young Republicans
now support the fight to legalize love.
So you trying to cock block Adam and Steve's?
Big fat gay wedding is getting big time slapped.
Hello?
Gays in the military.
That doesn't get better.
So you were cool if gay soldiers died for your freedom?
As long as they didn't get their freedom.
Love the flag but hate the fags?
Don't ask me not to tell you.
You a homo hating hypocrite that's full of shit.
Girl, fatigues never look so fabulous.
Don't you just hate it?
Neener, neener, neener.
Gay adoption.
It doesn't get better.
So you would rather a kid be an orphan
than have two daddies?
Sorry, b***h.
More and more gay couples are adopting kids.
It's abandoned by straight people.
Make way for the gaybies.
You get a gaybie. You get a gaybie.
Pray the gay away?
It doesn't get better.
No matter how much you preach to kids, the way they were born is a sin.
Thousands of schools have gay straight alliances.
Bitch, you ain't gonna win.
Boys is prom queen.
Stop the gayness.
Bam. Man, I hate the gays. Cry.
Shut the fuck up.
Wah, wah. Legalize love,
b***h. The anti-gay bullying projects.
Sorry, haters, it don't get better.
It just gets gayer.
Joy 94.9.
It gets so gay. You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James here. And of course, I'm joined by the lovely pushing all the right buttons. She's dreaming about me, John Wintle. John, welcome to Purple Speech.
Michael James, hello.
He had a dream about me.
Yes, I did have a dream about you, but I'm a little embarrassed to actually go into too much detail about what that dream was about.
Really? Are we talking R-rated or PG or PG-13?
I'm a little bit embarrassed to say. We might need to turn down the lights in studio.
I think we've already done that. You did. We were playing before. The music was playing. We did a disco happening.
Well, we might need to knock out a couple of light bulbs.
You are tuned into Purple Speech. And just as well, too, we've got a great show tonight. We've got Connor, who will be on the phone joining us live soon. I believe he's from Adelaide. He's going to be sharing his coming out experience, John, with us. So I'm very excited to chat to Connor about his experiences and how it got better for him.
I'm very excited as well. I want to hear about other people's coming out experiences just to see if they're different from my own and, just to see how his journey
has
been.
Well, no two coming out stories are the same, John.
Yes, that's right.
We are also going to... We'll rewind and give a bit of a background story. So we were going to have Ben Hobson on our show live. Ben, for those who don't know, came out on YouTube recently as a gay father. At the age of 25, he pretty much went global with his coming out video. A lot of people have seen it. It's gotten over, I think it's even over 1 million views at this stage. He was going to come on our show, but unfortunately he has said that he's not ready to come on air to talk about his experiences just yet, but he has an audio recorder that we are playing tonight.
And that's fair.
Which is his story. So really looking forward to that. It's quite a deep story. So stay tuned in for that. We'll go into a bit detail about that later. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of discussions, including the International AIDS Conference that's happening in Melbourne that Joy are actually broadcasting from. And we're also going to be giving some coming out tips, John.
Oh, yes. And, of course, if you have your own tips, then we invite you to share them with us, Michael.
And how can they do that, John?
All they need to do is send us an SMS 0427JOY949, or they can email us onair@joy.org.au, or join the surge. Join the surge.
The surge.
Join the surge.
The surge.
Of our Facebook Participants, all 5,345 of them, I think, from memory.
I'm looking at it now, 5,393, but who's counting?
Oh, yes, always going up every minute. All you need to do is go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/purplespeech, and hit that like button, and you'll stay up to date of everything that's happening in our show.
But yeah, send us a message via Facebook or on air at joy.org.au. If you've got any coming out tips that you would like to share with us, of course, we've got our own. I think we do really need to stress that we're not telling you how to come out and we're not saying there is a right or wrong way. We've just got some advice and tips that we just want to share ourselves. Of course, in no way is this right or wrong what we say. It's just, we're just helping out, aren't we? We're just lending a voice. And that's what Purple Speech is. We are a voice to the community. How you decide to take that is up to you.
Yeah, and it's such a big issue. I think, you know, the top 10 is probably the tips is a great way to, you know, put a few ideas into people's heads. Like, yeah, where do I start?
Every little bit of advice helps. Of course, if you are looking for some more advice, John, they can also go to the It Gets Better Australia website. That is igba.org.au. I'm looking at John like I'm reading it, but and it's all in my head.
Of course, be sure to check out the video of our very own Purple Speech host, Michael James, who is actually on the site. So if you want to see...
I don't believe I'm on the site, but I am there somewhere. I think I'm on their Facebook page. So guys, get me on that site. You and I should do a coming out video for It Gets Better Australia.
Yeah, okay. I mean.
We'll get Joy to do one as well. We'll get everyone who wants to do one here at Joy and do a Joy coming out video. I think that'd be nice.
Yeah.
We'll get on to that. Of course, if you want to do a coming out video, you can do one yourself. Go to the website, www.igba.org.au. Follow the links and join the pledge and do your coming out video. Like I said, we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. I do want to point out now, if you need someone to talk to, you can call Lifeline now on 13 11 14. There is a trained counsellor on the other end who is willing to take your call. So if you need someone to speak to, call them. Or, of course, as always, John, in emergency, always call 000. We're going to hear from a few of our sponsors. And then after that, we're going to hear from Connor and his coming out experience. You are listening to Joy. Are you listening to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9?
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You listen to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. If you need someone to talk to, don't forget you can call Lifeline now on 13 11 14. There's a trained counsellor on the other end willing to take your call. In an emergency, always call 000. Live on the phone, all the way from Canberra, not Adelaide, like I said before, is our first guest tonight, Connor Brennan. Connor, thank you for joining us.
No worries.
We'll get straight into it. Tell us about your coming out experience.
I think I was 17 turning 18, like the very end of 17. And I'd always known, I was always like known ever since I was little. But I was just like, no, I cannot deal with this.
And then, what made you think that you couldn't deal with it?
Well, I went to, it's nothing to do with my family. Like my family was like, really supportive with like anything, but I went to a high school that was really like, it was in the country and it was really just like anti-gay as it is in the country. And it was just, yep. I don't know, it really like convinced me not to.
Yeah. Would you say like in a peer pressure kind of way?
It was just like, it would have just been like fuel on a fire, sort of like.
Best to say nothing.
Me no favors.
Yeah. So after that, how was your coming out?
Well, I didn't actually do it until I finished school, and I'd finished school, and it would have been like December 2012, and I remember I messaged like my best friend, and I messaged her, and I was like, "Would you hate me if I was gay?" And she said, "No, why would I?" I said, "Oh, because I am." And she was just like, "So you want to get tonight
and celebrate?"
Yeah, and I was like, "Sure."
Okay. And then had you or have you come out to your parents since?
Yeah. It was like a real, like everyone was like, oh, because like obviously I'd spoken to gay people from wherever and like they were like, oh, one day you'll just wake up and you'll like want to do it. And I was like, no, I never will. I just, you know, rah, rah, rah. And then like literally one day I woke up and I was just like, no, I can't. Like I just want to. And then.
Can I ask how old you were at this stage?
17.
So it was towards the end of like 17,
yeah,
18.
Like, I think I turned 18 in February. I turned 18 in February and it was like in December.
Okay.
So, Connor, it's John here. Just out of curiosity, so while you were still coming to terms with your sexuality and not out of the closet yet, did you have any role models that you looked up to during that time, you know, to give a positive spin on coming out?
No, I really didn't, sadly enough.
Once coming out, did you find, you said you came out to your friend over the phone, did you have anyone else that you spoke to, or was she kind of like your rock in the coming out process?
What do you mean?
So when you were coming out to your friend, you said over the phone, did you find that you guys bonded, or did you have, like, when you had questions in regards to coming out, was there anyone that you could really turn to find out more information, or I suppose a support network that you could turn to?
I kind of dealt with it myself.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I don't know, I kind of didn't like, I like to do it on my own, and I kind of just like dealt with it on my own, and I didn't really have any questions. Like, because before I came out, like, to my friend, one of my, like, my, that friend who I came out to, her sister lives in Sydney, and she had like a gay best friend. She went to my high school but had moved to Sydney for uni, and he added me on Facebook one day, and then like we were just talking rah rah, and that's what kind of like got me thinking like being gay isn't the worst thing in the world, like
yeah,
it isn't.
And no, it's not.
That's what kind of, and he was just, yeah, I don't know, it kind of just pushed me in the right direction.
Going back to high school just quickly, were you bullied at all during high, I mean, I know you said that you didn't come out and you stayed quiet, but were you bullied at all during high school?
Oh, every day.
Every day. Do you feel that it was because of your sexuality?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm a very, like, opinionated person, so I think if I was...
I suppose that helped.
I don't really think it would have, like, I wouldn't, you know, it would have been fine, but because I was really loud, it kind of didn't help.
How did you, I suppose, I mean, you're opinionated, but how did you deal with it in any other ways?
What do you mean?
So, with the bullying, how did you deal with it?
I don't know, it was really embarrassing for me. Like, I would, I don't know, I just kind of would ignore it.
But yeah.
Like, you can't really ignore it, and I just kind of had to deal with it.
Do you mean the bullying for you was embarrassing to talk about?
It was embarrassing to talk about. It was just embarrassing to, like, be a part of, and, like, yeah.
Did you, I suppose if, I'm saying you wouldn't talk about it, did you talk about it with teachers at all, or just didn't talk about it at all?
I just didn't talk about it at all. Like, I didn't want to talk about it. And, like, it was just really embarrassing for me, and I just didn't even, like, I would just pretend it, like, wasn't there, but it was, and it was, and, like, it affects you in, like, different ways. Like, you become, like, mean towards other people because of it, when you normally wouldn't be, because it's, I don't know, it's kind of like the way you deal with it.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yep.
Since high school, obviously, you have come out. How have things gotten better for you?
It's kind of like, I remember when I wasn't out, it was kind of like my greatest fear, like, anyone finding out, and like I just, you know, it was like living in fear, and now it's like I it's like nothing. I don't even think about it. Like, I forget half the time that I'm gay, and like I'm such a happier person, and I'm, I don't know, like my self-esteem has risen so much, and like I don't know, it's just like, it's a really indescribable feeling, because
you sound a lot more positive.
Yeah. I don't know, I moved it all, I had to move, because when I finished high school, I moved to university, and I moved from, I was in Griffith in New South Wales, and then I moved to Wodonga in Victoria, which is like 3 hours out of Melbourne. And then even that, it was still better than Griffith, even though it was still in the country and it was more accepting. But then I was bored there as it was, so I moved to Canberra. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's the country and then like the city and metropolitan areas are just two different worlds.
Yeah.
With everything, not just sexuality, with most things. And it's like, I don't know, it's to be, the more you're around people who you say you're gay and they're like, well, what else is new? You kind of, like, it doesn't...
It's just not even a topic. It's yeah. just
it's
whatever.
It's not even a topic. Like, it's not. And you, I don't know, you just don't see it as a thing anymore. Like, it's just, like, you know, you have blue eyes, you're gay.
What are you doing today? Is there anything that you'll change about your coming out?
No. Nothing. I'm just so happy that I, like, have, like, such support.
I think that's so good to hear.
What
yeah,
about...
I've told every single person I've told, you know, it's only made my relationship with them stronger, and that's exactly what I wanted.
So, Connor, thinking back to your time at high school where you were bullied, once you came out after you left high school, did you get the opportunity to confront some of the people that gave you a hard time at school?
Not really, because I haven't been back to the place where I went to high school because, like, my family doesn't live there anymore, so I have no point to. But lots of my friends who have, like, lots of my friends who still speak to the people at high school, they've obviously told them because, like, they have me on Facebook and they obviously ask questions. And they, I don't know, they're kind of jealous in a way, like, which is weird to say because they're
jealous.
Kind of just like, yeah, like, they're kind of just like, because the whole reason I was bullied was because they, like, I don't know, it's kind of a jealousy thing. Like I don't know, when you're gay, like, you're just really confident.
Yep.
And so many people, like, back in the country, when, like, my friends who I talked to, who I actually was friends with, they'd be like, oh, such and such, like, was talking about you, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, oh, what are they saying? They were just kind of like, well...
get over it.
They have nothing to say. Like, they've got nothing to say because what is being gay?
Exactly. Speaking of things to say, what advice would you give others similar to you or have gone through something similar to you?
Don't, like, you can't rush it. It's one of those things that you just need to, like, each day grow, and you can't rush it, and you can't let anybody else tell you how to do it. It's one, like, you've got to be able to make the decision yourself, and you just can't rush it because, like, it's a personal growth thing, and if you can't rush personal growth.
Exactly. I think that's perfect. Connor, thank you so much for talking to us tonight.
No worries.
I'm glad that things have gotten better for you.
No, much better. The wrinkles are gone.
Of course. Thank you so much. We'll chat to you again soon, I'm sure.
Excellent. Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
That's okay. You're listening to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Hey, this is Leona Lewis, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James here with John Wintle. As always, you just heard from, we just heard from Connor before on the phone, John.
Oh, yeah.
I know I said it already, but I really liked how positive he got towards the end about his coming out experience. I know it was tough to start off with, but it got better, and I think that's important.
And it also offers a lot of hope for those of us from DSGs, diverse sexual backgrounds, in rural areas, because, it's not always as easy for, you know, those of us who live in the bigger cities to get to support resources.
Exactly. If you do need support, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or go to the It Gets Better Australia website, igba.org.au. In an emergency, always call 000. John, we've got another interview coming up now. We're on a roll tonight, aren't we?
Roll.
Ben Hobson, just before we play the interview, Ben posted a coming out video on YouTube in February this year saying that he married his wife of 5 years and had 2 children before then coming out. Ben was also battling a drinking problem at the beginning of the year and realized he had to stop. After a month of being sober, he realized he was gay, came out to his wife, family, and the entire internet. He wasn't able to speak with us because he's not ready to speak so publicly. However, he has publicly recorded a video an audio piece that we are going to play for you. Listener discretion is advised for the following audio. It may offend some listeners. So if this is you, remember there is support out there. You are listening to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
So, I was born in Southern California. My family consisted of a mom, dad, and older sister, and 4 older brothers. When I was 9 months old, my dad molested some neighborhood kids and got sentenced to prison. He got on the sex offender list and became a pedophile. So, my mom moved us 6 kids from California to Utah, where our grandpa lived, her dad. My mom met my stepdad when I was 3 years old, and then when I turned 6, we moved to Idaho. Yeah, fun. We were raised in the Mormon church, so our parents put a lot of rules and restrictions on us to guide us to God better. We couldn't play violent video games or watch any movies rated PG-13, so that kind of sucked. We all had to watch those Disney movies, G, rated PG, no bad movies at all, so it was kind of a weird experience for us. We definitely lived a sheltered life. We were the model family of sheltered family. And my 4th oldest brother fought with our stepdad the most. He didn't agree with the rules on video games and internet access. This gave us a very sheltered life, as I said. And my fourth oldest brother is the same brother that came out gay, as I said before in other videos. But anyways, when I was 12, my 4th oldest brother who he had went to live with my aunt and uncle 2 years earlier because he didn't get along with our stepdad. He called our mom to tell her he was gay. She told me the news and said that he was going to hell because God was against homosexuality. But she still loved him anyways because he was her son. This instilled pretty good fear in my head to never become gay because I didn't want to burn in hell. Because who wants to burn in hell, right? No one does, so. Anyways, my first gay experience happened that summer. My two friends and I went swimming in a hot springs by the river. We started talking about girls, boobs, and sex, because that's what young boys talk about when they're young, you know. And we started getting, you know, our things started going a little hard. So we got naked, and if I remember right, I would hold my breath underwater while my friend would lay on top of my back. And we were trying to act like one of us was the girl and the other one was the boy. I don't know. We were fooling around. I don't know. We were like 12, I think. Yeah, something like that. We were pretty young, but that was my first gay experience. I don't know if you call that gay or just experimenting, but anyways. The next year, my dad was diagnosed with colon cancer. So my mother and I went to visit him in California. He died the next year because he was like 50, 55. It was a late diagnosis. So all five of us brothers have to get colon screened like after we're 30 or something. So that's going to be fun. After that, I really started rebelling at home. I had a compulsive stealing disorder problem where I would do things compulsively, whatever you call it, and I would steal stuff, just whatever, everything in sight. And you name it, I would steal it. One time I walked into a secondhand store and filled an entire shopping cart of junk and then just walked out and put it in my mom's van. And, you know, she saw it and got mad and yeah, blah, blah, blah. But I've done actually a lot of community service when I was in high school, a lot. Probably 150 total. That's like two different offenses that I was caught. So, yeah, I rebelled a lot. It just, I don't know what, it happened like right after my dad died. I don't know, teenage stuff, so. The first male role model I ever became obsessed with was Billy Joe Armstrong, of the lead singer of Green Day. Yeah, I had a big crush on him. I would watch videos of him sing and just stare at his hair, his face, his tight pants. I loved everything about him. I loved anything about Britney Spears too, but for some reason my mom wouldn't allow that kind of music in her house. So I don't know. One time I stole some eyeliner though from my mom's bathroom and drew eyeliner on my face and did my hair like Billy Joe Armstrong. Felt so cool. I thought I was a sexy beast, you know? And, I had a lot of 10-second girlfriends growing up. Always a girl would come up to me and say that her friend really liked me and that I should ask her out. So all of my girlfriends in grade school lasted not much longer than like a month, maybe less than that. I would always call it off and use the excuse that I was training to go on a 2-year Mormon mission and didn't need the distractions of a girlfriend. This excuse always worked. The last year of high school, I made a short movie to ask a girl out to prom. I didn't know what girl I was going to ask, though, so I made the movie very generic so I could give to any girl. You know, I didn't say any names in the movie. It's a very good movie. I lost it, though. But so I went through the yearbook and closed my eyes, and whichever girl my finger landed on, I would ask out. And I dated this girl for the entire year. It was crazy how we just clicked. We were both nerdy and both loved food. You know what I mean? So it's a good match. I joined the Air Force after I graduated, and I was actually planning on marrying this girl, too, because I really wanted family and kids. A girl was the only way to get kids, as far as I knew. You know, the easiest one, I thought. So 6 months after joining the Air Force, I told my fiancé that I couldn't get married in the Mormon temple with her because I didn't get all my Mormon prerequisites done, and begged her just to get married in a regular church. I wanted sex and a family so bad. Oh, yeah. I was still a virgin at this point. I was a virgin until I was 19 years old. That's crazy. And she said no, so I moved to my first Air Force base alone. That was South Dakota. I dated two different girls there before meeting my future wife. And we had been dating for only 4 months when I proposed to her because I really wanted kids and the family. Not too long later, I got a call from my brother at 2 a.m. saying my mom had shot herself in the head. She had bipolar depression and it had finally gotten to the best of her. That moment, I stopped believing in the Mormon church and kind of God, too, because I knew my mom was doing everything that a good Mormon mother should be doing, but God had still forsaken her. He wasn't listening to her prayers, obviously, because she killed herself. And my stepdad screwed up their finances, and they were in serious debt, among other things. And after my mom's funeral, I flew back to South Dakota, and instead of going to a therapist like I probably should have, I just buried my sadness deep down. And the only way Keely, you know, my ex-wife, knew how to cheer me up was through sex. Anyways, the very next month, Keely was pregnant and we weren't married yet. That was cool. I had to tell her stepdad too. That was interesting. Like, I walked up, because I walked upstairs to talk to her stepdad and handed him my pay stub. Like, hey, this is how much I make. Your daughter's pregnant. Cool. So that went over well. The next 4 years of my life were awesome because I had a beautiful daughter who was my pride and joy. She always brought a smile to my face. Nothing else mattered because I had her. My marriage with Keely, on the other hand, started to have troubles like within the first 6 months of being married. I found out about this webcam website called Stickem, whatever you call it. I would go on there and have private chat sessions where people would just watch me strip and whatever, just talk, you know what I mean? I would strip too. Anyway, I couldn't always see who was watching, but they would type and tell me what to do. Like, I thought it was cool. I don't know. I like the attention, I guess. One person told me to stick a Sharpie marker on my butt while jerking off because the orgasm would be so much better. I was like, hey, give it a try. It was. But a couple days later, Keely walked in on me naked in front of my webcam. And after that, I wasn't allowed by myself on the computer anymore. Our 5-year marriage consisted of lying, cheating, and fighting. It was not a healthy marriage at all. Just when things were starting to calm down, we came up with the cool idea to have a baby boy. We both really wanted a boy because we already had a daughter, and we figured a boy would just bring us closer together. You know, having another baby fixes marriages. So we had a boy. My drinking had always been a problem ever since I turned 21, but I came from a town where drinking heavily was the norm. Everyone drinks in South Dakota because it's so cold in the winters and there's nothing else to do. I brought my heavy drinking to Southern California, and it just got worse. I had zero friends in California, so my whiskey, tequila, vodka, and rum became my new friends. I did start one healthy habit of running, though. I loved the endorphins from running that I felt like, and I just started looking at photos of other fit men and loved how they looked, and I just wanted to be just like them. Like, oh, just their legs and their just healthy bodies. I wasn't the healthiest before I started running. Like, I have been up to 215 pounds. I was chunky. I'll have to find some photos, but they're pretty bad. Anyways, 5 months before my son was born, I took my family to South Dakota for vacation. I brought all of my booze to my best friend's house because I had been sober for 2 months after getting a really bad sore throat infection from drinking 30 consecutive days on military deployment. It was very bad. But I kept drinking after that happened. I didn't learn my lesson, so. Anyways, my friends were throwing a party that night, so they eventually pressured me to drink with them. So I drank from the very bottle that I gave to my friend to get rid of. Yeah, ironic kind of thing. Like, anyways, that night I fell asleep in his bed, and I woke up to him jerking me off. I started jerking him off too, because, Anyways, so before I knew it, he was sucking my dick. And there was a girl sleeping in the bed too, because she was passed out. So he told me we should go into his closet. He had a walk-in closet. It's kind of ironic that we walked into a closet to perform gay stuff. It's kind of weird, you know, it's funny, right? Anyways, so we went there where it was more secret and quieter. He wanted to go further and have sex, but I just wasn't ready for that yet. I told him it was weird, and I got dressed and I left. And I relived that night every day for the rest of the year. After my son was born, Keely couldn't have sex for 6 weeks because she had to heal after childbirth. Like, women can't, you know, have sex right after birth because, you know, downstairs is all weird. So I masturbated instead, like I'm very good at. Only this time I would think about my guy friends. This is a new thing. I didn't think about anything was wrong with me, but I started questioning my straightness. Like, I finally got the courage to text my best friend and tell him that I wished I had sucked him off that night, and that I wanted to, but I was afraid it would make me gay or something. So we started sexting a lot after that. You know, he sent me a couple of photos. I sent him a couple of photos. It was, you know, harmless stuff. And I soon began to believe that I was gay after all. I had loved touching my best friend so much. The manly physique was so awesome in my mind. I don't know, just like imagining his naked body, you know, I just couldn't stop. Anyways, the only problem with all this was I was drunk when I fooled around with my friend, and I was also buzzed when I texted my gay friend telling him I wouldn't mind having sex with him. So I decided to stop drinking to see if I still had those same feelings after being sober for a month. And after being sober, I realized it was so much clearer. I actually loved what I was thinking about. I loved thinking about guys, and I loved thinking about my friends, you know, and anyways, so I finally realized that I was gay, and I asked my best friend what he thought, and he told me to keep it a secret, and that I was probably just bi. He wanted us to fool around in secret without his girlfriend or my wife knowing. He wanted, like, you know, fool around behind their backs. So I talked to my gay friend instead to get his advice and asked him what he thought. And he told me I should probably wait a little bit before telling people. Like, if I thought I was, just wait a little bit. But I told him that I was going to tell Keely in the morning. So I did. And the rest you already know. So, yeah, that is my life story in a nutshell. Hope you can relate to it in some weird way. Anyway, so later.
Joy 94.9.
Hey, Joy, this is Tim Campbell.
Hey, this is Anthony Clear. You're listening to Joy, Melbourne's very own gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hip hip, you're gay.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Joy
94.9. You did that again, John, on purpose. You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James here and John Wintle, as always,
hiya,
here every week on a Thursday.
Hiya.
That was Ben Hobson's interview that we heard before. Well, I wouldn't say interview, but audio bit. If you do need someone to talk to, don't forget you can call Lifeline 13 11 14. There's someone on the other end waiting to take your call in an emergency. Always call 000, John.
Yes, that's very important that you remember that number, and also the Lifeline number, which is available 24 hours.
And of course, if you just need some advice or want to see some It Gets Better or coming out videos, go to the It Gets Better Australia website, show them some love, igba.org.au.
You know what? I actually really like going through those videos, because when you hear about how it gets better for other people, it can take you out of some dark spaces.
It really does get better. We have some information all over the place to read out. So we'll start with some facts that were given to us over the coming week. Just some random facts that you may not be aware of, just to show the seriousness of things. Did you know that one out of six students nationwide, grades 9 to 12, seriously considered suicide in the past year?
Oh, that's actually shocking. I would have never thought that statistic would be
true,
that significant.
Yep.
And I would find it hard to believe that's
You've
true.
You've got some too, John.
Yes. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people ages 10 to 24.
And nearly half of young transgender people have seriously thought about taking their own lives, and one quarter report having made an actual suicide attempt. You know, we're reading out these facts because they're facts, and these are happening, and it needs to be stopped. We need to put a stop to this. You know, we need to talk about these issues. We need to remind people that there is that support out there. There's Lifeline, there's QLife, there's the It Gets Better Australia website. You know, there is support, there is love out there. Don't forget that if you need someone to talk to, please speak to someone about it.
And I always love the saying, a journey of 1,000 miles always starts with a step. And reaching out and, you know, speaking to Lifeline, calling 000 in an emergency, or even checking out some of the It Gets Better Australia videos is a really good first step.
Yeah. And, you know, there's many steps to take. We have an email. We'll do that now, John.
Oh, yes. Let's go.
We don't know who you are. You didn't mention a name, but...
Mystery person.
Whoever you are, let us know if you want. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But you have said, hey, not coming out is always as easy. I have a daughter from a straight relationship, but I'm now in a relationship with a great guy. And it took a long time for my daughter to accept who I am, but my male partner and daughter now get along well. But I went through hell when it came out, and as I nearly lost my daughter because of it. We are all good, but the time I came out, there was a lot of times I wish I hadn't. But as I said, I'm glad I did. He also said that it was nice to hear Connor has great support.
Yeah, that's a really good example of how things get better, Michael. So in this particular person's instance, they're saying that at the time things didn't seem so great, but then at the end of that journey, things just, you know, they in retrospect they weren't that bad, and they turned out really well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it does get better.
Yeah.
You know, as so, we keep saying it, we can't make it better for you, but it does get better. We have some... Sorry, we've got a few more emails coming through. We'll get to them soon. We have some coming out tips. Now, yes, we're going to read some of these out. Look, these tips aren't necessarily the right or wrong way, and we're not telling you how to come out. We're just going to give you some tips, take them on board, and make what you want of them.
Okay.
Do you want to start, Sean?
Oh, do you know what? I am going to start with the most important tip out of all of the tips.
And what's that one?
It's one word, Michael. It's breathe.
Breathe. Why is that so important, John?
Well, if you can get some oxygen to your brain, okay, it's going to promote clear thinking. It's going to let you process, you know, the emotions that's going through your body. And especially when you're under a lot of stress, the best way to let it go is by taking deep breaths and being conscious of your breathing. So extremely important.
And I think while you have a clear mind, be sober. That's another one.
Well,
a lot of people have a few drinks, maybe for liquid courage. That's a wrong idea. Be sober.
Yeah, because again, you want to have a clear mind. And, you know, when you want to come out and reveal your, you know, your true colors, your sexuality, it's such a private and complicated thing. People are going to have questions for you, no doubt.
I'm just looking at the list now. I think come out to people one at a time and somewhere private, John.
Yeah, and
don't make it so public.
I've heard of people that have these coming out parties. Like,
I think that's after they've come out, though, maybe.
Perhaps. It's a Thanksgiving thing as well. I've heard in America a lot of people are coming out at Thanksgiving when the family's all sitting together with, you know, a massive turkey sitting on the table. Don't know how the turkey's relevant to that story, but
hopefully it doesn't go too cold.
It is a thing. It is a thing. I promise you that. Yeah, but I would recommend you do it one-on-one because it gives you a great opportunity to gauge what each individual's reactions are to the news that you have to tell them. And that way you can, you know, deal with a very personal issue in a very personal matter.
Well, I think one of the other tips we have written down is be ready for questions that may or may not offend you.
Okay. I can't think of any questions that would offend me.
No, but I think if you are coming out, be prepared for that.
And I guess that just shows how coming out is different for many different people. So I would not even expect a weird, offensive question coming out of the discussion. But I guess that's me.
Definitely. If you've got a tip for us, let us know on air at joy.org.au or Facebook us. We read them all out on air and we love hearing from you. Facebook.com/purplespeech. We're going to hear from our sponsors now and we'll be back to wrap this baby up. We have a special announcement. Stay tuned. You'll listen to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9.
This Joy program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Make sure you subscribe to the Purple Speech podcast. You are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. It is 5 minutes to midnight. We do appreciate you tuning in this late, don't we, John?
Right on the doorstep of midnight.
Right. Ooh, on the doorstep.
This is where the magic in Purple Speech happens.
This is where we go a little bit crazy. we have a massive show next week, John. Huge.
You mean more massive than that? Because can I be honest that I'm a little petered out? I'm almost ready for a nap right now.
We are really kicking things into high gear on our fourth week show, which is next week. You do not, I cannot stress, you do not want to miss next week's show. We have, of course, the influential John Codwell, who will be joining us live in the studio to talk about all of his experiences and stories. He's got a lot of them to share. And, of course, the Real Housewives of Melbourne herself, Gina Liano, is joining us next week here on Purple Speech. If you've got a question for Gina or something you want to know, email us now to purplespeech@joy.org.au or Facebook us. Search for us on Purple Speech and Facebook us. If you've got a question for either John or Gina for next week, let us know and we will ask them on air. They may or may not, of course, answer it, but we will try, John.
Yeah, we'll put our best efforts in to go do some interrogative reporting.
If you want to know if Gina's returning for season two or what
her
John's
shoe size,
up to,
her I shoe suppose. Size.
Of course, know. If you want to know what John's up to, let us know. But you have until this Monday. So I'm trying to think what the date is, but I don't. So look, I'm not that organized.
Look, Michael, it's just some simple mathematics. So let's just say today could be potentially actually the 24th of July.
Of July.
Friday, that's the 25th.
26th, Saturday, 27th.
Don't go too fast. 28th, I believe it would be.
28th. You have until July 28th to submit your questions. So get on to it and we'll read them on air. Jennifer has actually sent us an email, John. She's saying that coming out was really difficult to her and her partner. If she could do it again, she would. But she's had the right support and the right foundation and everything is great now. A load off her chest and recommends anyone else who wants to do it.
Inspirational.
Inspirational. Thanks, Jennifer, for that.
Thank you for letting us rest on such a happy note for tonight.
Such a happy note. Let us know what you think of us and Purple Speech. We love all honest feedback, so don't be afraid. We're tough boys. We can handle it. Facebook again, facebook.com/purplespeech, or you can email us anytime at purplespeech@joy.org.au, so don't be afraid to send us some love.
We will, of course, reply with a personalised message.
Maybe on air.
Perhaps on air.
And if you want to come on our show, let us know as well. We are taking interview requests. If you have a business or something that you want to talk about within the LGBTI community or a coming out story that you want to share, we want to hear all sorts of motivation speakers. So let us know and come on air. It can be pre-recorded or live. Kind of, John.
I like it when things are live because anything can happen.
Anything, Michael, can happen. And everything's live on our show.
It's the magic of radio. It's just fitting into however things roll.
Until next week, John. Like I said, Jenna Liano and John Codwell live in the studio. So do not miss our show. That's all I can say. We've got many things to ask.
We've got so many questions and I'm looking forward to just being able to chat with this wonderful man and woman.
Me too. You've been listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.